If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, which of course Grace Net Radio does, of course, then you want to see everything possible to get the Word of God out to more and more people. Well, we're going to talk right now with somebody that I normally don't talk about things like this, technology and so forth, and new applications and so forth. But this is very exciting because this deals with the further distribution of the Word of God. Let me have our guest, who is Bobby Grunewald, introduce this Bible app. Let me just give you one little example. He was expecting or hoping maybe 80,000 downloads in the first 6 months when they first began this thing, of people actually looking at the Bible on their little handheld device. And instead of getting 80,000 downloads in the first 6 months, that number was surpassed in the first weekend. And to date now, readers have clocked over 95 billion minutes of Bible reading time. So that's incredible. Welcome to the program, Bobby. Appreciate this.
And Jerry, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so explain this to us.
Well, you know, I work at a church called Life Church based in Oklahoma, but my background actually was in technology before I went to work at the church. I had a couple of technology companies, and so I've always really tried to say, okay, God, you've given me these gifts and these experiences, and how can I use these in a way that are really going to help advance the gospel? And I was traveling in an airport in Chicago back in 2006 in O'Hare, and the O'Hare Airport.
Yes.
In a really long TSA security line at the time. And I was just thinking about this question of, could we be at one of those moments in history where if we could just leverage the technology that we have available to us in the right way, it might actually transform how this generation engages with the Bible, much in the way that we saw the printing press as an invention really transform our access to Scripture, something we probably take for granted today, but was a really key piece of technology that really helped change the dynamics of it. And so could we be at one of those moments? And so there in the security line, this idea came originally for a website, not for an app for phones, but a website. And so we ventured on this journey to create what we call YouVersion, starting there with that idea in the airport that day. The short version of the story is the website actually failed. It really didn't work to help us change how we engage in the Bible, but it led to this idea of designing it so that we could view it on our mobile phones, which, as most people today recognize, it's a device that's increasingly becoming something that everyone has and carries with them everywhere they go. And so when we made a few changes to make it viewable on a phone, all of a sudden we begin to see our personal engagement with Scripture increase in both the frequency as well as the consistency that we were engaging in the Bible, because it very naturally integrated with something we had with us all the time. So we, as you mentioned there in the introduction, we went on to say, okay, if this is working, why don't we build an app for the iPhone? And that was the original app that we built back in 2008. And our thought process was, if we could just have the Bible among the very first apps that were going to be available on the iPhone for free, perhaps it would help those that are interested in the Bible, or maybe even some that just were curious about the Bible. They might be interested in downloading this. And we've just been blown away by what we've seen God do. That first weekend, like you said, we saw over 80,000 people download and install this app just within a few days. We kind of quickly put our foot on the gas and said, okay, we've got to really accelerate the development of this. And so today we've gone from that beginning, which was an amazing start, we've gone from that to seeing, you know, over 145 million devices that have installed it. And pretty much any kind of smartphone that you purchase anywhere in the world today, you're able to download our Bible app for free. And it includes many different versions of the Bible. And our emphasis was not just on access to Scripture, but really was on doing it in a way that we felt like would really help people engage, actually use it. And so we really emphasize that this isn't just trying to get an app on everyone's phone. This is really trying to design an application that really helps make it easy for people to make the Bible a part of their everyday life.
Okay, there may be some listeners who are listening to this thinking, wow, this sounds great. What's an app?
That's a good question. So, Yeah, much in the way when we created computers, when computers were created, people began to develop software that you could install on a computer to perform various functions. Some people might be familiar with Microsoft Word or Excel, or a way that you can, do certain things with a computer. Basically, the software helps the computer accomplish the things that you want to accomplish with it. And as phones begin to become smarter and smarter, basically it turns out to where you now have essentially a computer that's in your pocket with what are known as smartphones. And so apps are applications. That's apps is short for applications. And it's basically software that you can download and run on your smartphone. So it's kind of akin to a computer software application, but designed specifically for phones.
All right. Now, I'm cheap. I don't have a smartphone because I understand that you have to pay $40 a month for the maintenance of it. But in the meantime, I do have an iPod, and it does have, the process of applications or whatever. So I can presumably do it on that, right? Through Wi-Fi or whatever?
There's actually many, many different ways you can access the Bible app. One is through smartphones, like I mentioned.
Yeah.
They also make these devices like an iPod Touch that is essentially a smartphone without the cell phone part of it,
right?
Where you can also install applications there. And then for people that some people have iPads or tablets that they're purchasing,
right,
but they don't have a smartphone and they use the tablet on Wi-Fi at their house, kind of like they would a computer. And our app is also available on those. And then if for some reason you don't have any of those devices, but you have a computer that's connected to the internet, we also make all of the features we're talking about available through the website Bible.com. Again, it's all completely free. So even if you just have an internet-connected computer in somewhere that you have access to, you'd still be able to access YouVersion.
How did you get Bible.com? I mean, that means you must have registered that really early in the internet game, if you will.
I wish we did. No, we actually did. It's something that we had to purchase, a few years back, and it's quite a story that goes with it. But there was a couple that had registered it many, many, many years ago, and had developed a ministry, a Bible ministry with it. And they were at a point in their lives where they wanted to transition that ministry to someone else. And so we were at a place where we were able to do that to kind of help carry on the legacy of it.
Great. Okay, so how does somebody with a smartphone or iPod, iPad, how does somebody get access to your apps that you're referring to, your Bible apps?
Sure, absolutely. So just about any of those devices have an app store where you
App store. But
download.
Now store involves money. But this is something free?
It is. This is completely free. There's nothing that we charge for at all.
Great.
It's all entirely free. And even though it is called a store, the app stores have free apps as well as paid apps. And of course, ours is free.
Okay.
And so in that app store where you would get any of the other apps that you might download for your phone, if you search for the word Bible. Our app will generally always be the first one that you would see.
Well, congratulations.
And results to that. And so that's the easiest way. If for some reason there was any confusion, if you go using a browser like you would go to a website on any of those devices, if you simply type in Bible.com/app, it will automatically take you right to the right place inside of whatever app store is appropriate for your device. And so we've sort of designed it to try to make it easier in case people are having trouble finding out how to get there. You can just simply type in Bible.com/app, and it will take you right to the right spot to be able to get it.
Okay, how is your last name pronounced?
It's pronounced Gruenwald.
Okay, so we're talking right now with Pastor Bobby Gruenwald. What nationality is that?
Nationality? That's a German name.
German.
Way back in the 1800s, my family came over from Germany, and I believe it means green forest when it's translated.
Okay, and the website again is Bible.com, but also there's lifechurch.tv. What is that?
Yeah, lifechurch.tv is the website address for our church. It's a church that's based in Oklahoma City, although we do have multiple locations across the U.S. It's called a multi-site church, so we have about 18 different locations in 5 different states, but it's based in Oklahoma, and that's the web address for our church if you want to find out more information about it.
All right, I understand that one aspect of your ministry relates to Bible apps for kids. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we, as we've been able to see God take us on this journey and seeing what he's done with the Bible app, increasingly we begin to get questions from parents who use our app saying, is there any way that you could have a version of the app that's designed for our children, like our young children? Because when we designed the app, we didn't really do it with children in mind. It was designed for people that were, literate and typically, capable of purchasing or owning a smartphone or those types of devices. So we just didn't really design it for that. But as we began to get more and more requests, we started to also notice that, that children were increasingly using this technology. Their parents were handing their smartphone to children in the back of the car for them to play with when sure. they're on a long trip. Or kids had tablets or devices that they were using at their home. And so we decided to design from the ground up a new app that we call the Bible App for Kids, which is an interactive app or interactive piece of software where kids can listen to and or read Bible stories that together make up the entire meta narrative of Scripture, sort of the big story or the grand story of Scripture. And we designed it to be very interactive, where kids, this kind of has gaming type elements where they sort of earn achievements and awards for answering questions that relate to the different stories that they're reading. There's sort of hidden objects that they can find, and it's just really designed to help engage someone that's between the ages of 4 and 10 years old in Scripture. And it's completely free as well. Everything we do is free. And we launched that on Thanksgiving of 2013, and just been amazed by the response. We've already had over 3 million downloads of that application just since last Thanksgiving. And we've seen story after story of parents telling us how their children are just enthralled with the app and engaged in it. It's the first time they've seen their kids really excited about the Bible. And we're just thrilled to be able to provide that tool for parents.
Wow, that's incredible. Am I to understand, according to your press release here, it says the Bible app has 20-plus full-time employees along with several hundred volunteers providing support for virtually every mobile device. I mean, this is, you're just cranking out, copies of the Bible, including the New King James, the NIV. I'm just guessing. I don't know. Obviously, yeah. The King James, but
yeah. So we've been able to work with the Bible publishers and Bible societies from all around the world as our partners in this venture. We've been able to work with them to make available. Currently, there's over 925 versions of the Bible in over 629 different languages, and that number changes really every week because we're adding new languages as they become translated. So Wycliffe and some others are partners of ours, and so in doing that, we wanted the app, even though most people would experience it, they're listening to your program, would be experiencing it in English, we actually design it to where wherever you're at in the world and pretty much whatever language you speak, we want to make sure there's a Bible version for you to read. And we also want to make sure that we can provide text support in many of these languages as well. So if someone asks us a question in Chinese, then we actually have a team of people that respond back with technical support in Chinese for that team. So it's really an amazing thing to see how God's brought a lot of different talents and resources to be a part of this ministry, and it's hard to sort of fully get your hands or mind wrapped around because it's covers so many different languages, but it's something that we're really passionate about, being able to provide God's word in people's heart language. And in English alone, we have, I think, 39 different versions of the Bible, and it's actually a really popular feature for people to be able to compare different versions of the Bible, including all the ones you just mentioned.
Wow. Yeah, for anybody who doesn't get the opportunity to study the original Hebrew or study the original Greek, if you have, let's say two or three trusted translations, you can actually compare any particular text in those different languages, see the nuances, and it's that nuance that's reflected in the original language. I can't help but think of when William Tyndale was executed for translating the Word of God into English. He was the first to do it from the original languages. Tyndale did it from the Latin. But in 1536, for his efforts, he was martyred. But just before he was killed, he prayed, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." And now here we are 4 or 5, 4.5 centuries or whatever it is later, And the whole world is getting to hear about the Word of God through these little smartphones and Bible apps and so forth. Thank you so much for what you're doing. God bless you. How about a closing thought? But we only have 15 seconds.
Well, I think what you just mentioned about Tyndale is what people should reflect on. We probably take for granted that we have this free app that you can have on your phone today, but it really is the result of hundreds of years of people that have sacrificed and in some ways given their lives to be able to make it possible for us to have God's Word.